until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And we say a very good morning to Rebecca Casson, the CEO of the Committee for Geelong. It's good to see you, Rebecca, first time in 2016.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on the show, Mitchell, and a very happy new year to you and to all your wonderful listeners. We know there are many of them out there.
We do.
And we wish every one of them a happy new year.
Thank you very much. And did you have a good holiday?
Yes, thank you. We did. We're very much enjoying the weather. And aside from the bushfires, obviously, we send and extend our best wishes to everybody that experienced that trauma over the Christmas period, but we're very glad to see that there's lots of people enjoying our lovely region with the weather that we have.
Now, the Transforming Geelong Roadshow, tell us about that. We touched on it last time before you finished up for the year, but there's a bit more out about that now?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the Committee for Geelong is looking forward to a big week in February with the Transforming Geelong Roadshow and our annual leadership breakfast in the same week. So it's going to be a massive week that week, and we're very much gearing up towards that. We've received outstanding support for the roadshow, and many Geelong organisations are partnering with us and will be joining us on the road up to Melbourne. So we had a soft launch in Canberra, which I think we discussed the last time, and now we're taking over, Geelong is taking over Melbourne's Federation Square to showcase the opportunities that there are in Geelong. So we've invited over 200 of Melbourne's biggest companies to hear about the exciting developments happening in Geelong and how they can become part of Geelong's transformation.
What is interesting is some people say that Geelong is sometimes marketed as being just a part of Melbourne, and we see that in some cases, but is this really about putting Geelong on the map and saying, well, Geelong is actually successful in its own right?
Well, part of that is true, absolutely. And we, given our proximity to Melbourne, we find the benefits of that, but also there are some disbenefits as well. So Geelong is very distinct aside from Melbourne. And what we want to do is to actually explain to the people of Melbourne, who in fact, many people from Melbourne have never visited Geelong before. Mm. And so we want to ask the people of Melbourne to look at Geelong through different eyes.
Yep, fantastic. And is there anything in particular you'll be really pushing hard in that roadshow and showcasing?
Well, absolutely. And we're fortunate to have a Leaders for Geelong project team from our Leaders for Geelong program. You're aware that we run leadership programs. And this team with representatives from GMHBA, Harwood Andrews, Target, Crow Haworth, some really good local businesses are all collaborating and bringing all of the organisations together. So we very much look forward to updating you on the progress of that Leaders for Geelong team who are bringing this project to fruition. So we're wanting to seek collaboration from many Geelong organisations and say, join us on the road and help us to promote Geelong to Melbourne.
Fantastic. So if people out there happen to run a Geelong business or they run a great organisation, that might be something that they're interested in getting involved with?
Absolutely. It's a call to action to say we want to have as many Geelong organisations joining us on the road, going up to Melbourne, because our greatest challenge is to convince those investors on our doorstep that Geelong is actually a great place to be in terms of working or living. And there are many people that work in Melbourne that live in Geelong that don't realise the opportunities that there are in Geelong that are going to be emerging, particularly over the course of the next few years.
Now, tell us about your leadership breakfast.
Yes, absolutely. I mentioned previously that the committee's annual leadership breakfast is on the 18th of February at the Pier in Geelong, and it will feature keynote speaker, the British High Commissioner. And this British High Commissioner is quite unique in the sense that it's a female, Her Excellency Menna Rawlings, and she's a passionate advocate for women in leadership roles, and she's going to share her views on the importance of women taking their place among the top tiers of community and corporate decision makers as Geelong certainly continues to transform.
And it's a very timely topic, you know, women in power, given some of the things we've seen in the news at the start of this year.
That's right. And it does launch the committee's leadership activities for the next 12 months and provides our members and the broader community access to thought leaders at that highest level. So many people will never have the opportunity to see a British High Commissioner in the same way that last year many people had never had the opportunity to see the ambassador to the United States in Geelong. And we were able to have have members of the public. So this breakfast is actually open to members of the public, and we look forward to hearing Mena's insights on leadership, particularly as you've mentioned, Mitchell, as they relate to the critically important role women play in our communities, and particularly at this time in Geelong.
So essentially, if people out there in the community and the general public who aren't members of the Committee for Geelong, they can just go onto your website to purchase tickets for that, is that right?
They can go onto our website to purchase tickets. So if there are expats out there like myself who are interested to hear a bit of news from the homeland, from Mena Rawlings, but also those people who perhaps are wanting a bit of inspiration at the start of the new year, it is open to the public, and full registration details are available at www.committeeforgeelong.com.au.
Now, just before with Elaine Carbines, we were speculating a bit about the federal election. That's what everyone is talking about this year. But they could go early or they could go late. I saw one document that said that they could call an election and it could be all over and done within 33 days if they had a double dissolution. So are we ready if an election was called within 33 days?
We believe that we are ready. The Committee for Geelong has been working over the last few months on our federal election priorities. We collaborated with the Geelong Chamber of Commerce and the City of Greater Geelong on a visit to Canberra in December last year to advocate early on some of our federal election priorities. So we very much are ready in the lead up to the federal election, whenever that may be. And some of those priorities are very specific for Geelong.
Yeah, of course. And, of course, Corangamite is a marginal seat, so that does give us a little bit of leverage for advocating for some of those priority projects.
Absolutely. The leverage is important for Geelong. As a first priority, we've been calling for funding for the Geelong Convention and Exhibition Centre. The committee has been calling for that for a long time. And, in fact, we wrote an opinion piece about our visit to Cairns a couple of years ago and highlighted the Cairns Convention Centre and suggested that Geelong actually was a bit behind even Cairns in that regard. Obviously, prioritising funding for Western Link transport infrastructure is really important as well, and I think that that's going to be a very important point for Geelong in the federal election. And there are other projects as well that are important for different sectors, such as agribusiness, such funding for the Murray Basin Rail project, and also infrastructure for our community as it grows. So funding for the duplication of the Warm Ponds Tunnel, as an example.
One thing that I was thinking about before would be, is it advantageous for Geelong if the election was called later? Because I think the latest date it can be held is something like January next year. So if they decided to go long, does that give us more time to campaign and advocate for some of these things?
Well, that is also true, and there are some projects, and we spoke about this last year, I believe, and some might think that it's quite controversial in talking about projects such as Simmons Stadium Stage 5 redevelopment. So Stage 4 is obviously well underway, but if there was a later federal election, it would give an opportunity for some of those projects to be completed and advocacy around the completion of Stage 5. And some people do talk about the fact, you know, the football clubs had too much money. Well, it's not actually about the football club. The football club don't own the asset. It is soon to be a state government owned, well, it is a state government owned asset, but it's soon to come under the control of the state government through the Cadinia Park Trust. And there's definitely going to be the opportunity to advocate for projects like that. The completion of that stadium is really important for regional Victoria.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think two reasons why I think that there won't be an early election. First of all, the Campbell-Newman model in Queensland, it didn't go very well for them when they called a very early election. And second of all, the issue of a double dissolution. They've got to wait until about August if they want to have a half Senate election, which I think would suit them better. So, you know, those are two things in our favour, I think, if we want more time to advocate.
You are right, Mitchell. And there's lots of different areas that could benefit from earlier or later. Mm. It would depend on who you would speak to. Certainly from a sectoral perspective, you know, one area that we've been working on with the G21 Agribusiness Forum is support support for the region's agribusiness sector, and certainly we can't wait for support into that sector. So there might be people in individual sectors that are very keen for an early election so that we can actually have some decisions made and move forward.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Have a fantastic 2016, and we'll talk to you in February.
We thank you very much for the opportunity, Mitchell, to come on your wonderful program, and we look forward to working with you throughout the rest of this year.
And as we're asking every single presenter today, any David Bowie song requests?
Well, I think you should play them all, ongoing, on an absolute loop. The most favourite film of mine, although I don't have a favourite track, would be Labyrinth. And so anything that you could find from that would be something that I'd be very happy with.
We'll see what we can do. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Rebecca Casson there, the CEO of the Committee for Geelong.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.